Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach God's word from Isaiah 55, and I read verses 6 and 7 as text verses for the sermon. Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. The theme for the sermon is Seek Ye the Lord. We have 3 points. The first point, the Lord is to be found. Secondly, return unto the Lord, and thirdly, God will abundantly pardon. So the theme is Seek ye the Lord. 3 points, the Lord is to be found, return unto the Lord, and God will abundantly pardon. Congregation, I'm sure it has happened in your life that you said, I cannot find it. Young people, children, you needed a certain item, you had to find something. And your mother said, well, it's there, it's in the closet. So there you go, and you stand there, and you open the door of the closet, you stand in front of the closet, and you say, I cannot find it. Well, it must be there. No, it's not. It's not here. Cannot find it. Can happen to a husband, a spouse that is trying to find something, and his wife says, it's there, in the cabinet. And he says, no, I cannot find it. And then your mother or your wife will come, well, look, it's here, just laying here. Did you not see it? Oh, I didn't see it. I must have overlooked it. I think we recognize it. So why did you not see it? Did you really seek? Did you really look? Isn't that a problem? You didn't. You just said, oh, I cannot find it. You did not really try to find it. This morning Isaiah is speaking to us about seeking. Seek ye the Lord. So to seek, you could say, in a spiritual way. To seek the Lord while he may be found. And we should not think that it is impossible to find the Lord. Maybe you feel like that it is impossible. Maybe you say, well, I cannot find the Lord. Someone might say, but is God not invisible? How can I seek or find the Lord? It's so hard to understand that, to seek someone who you cannot see. And you might have tried in different ways to find God, and it could be that you are discouraged or you already gave up. What is the use of it? I've been going to church for a long time, heard many services, but I still do not get it, what it means to find the Lord. I don't know. It is probably not for me. Is that how you feel? Maybe a young person here, child, someone who's older. It makes no sense to me. What do you mean with seeking the Lord? You mean maybe to read your Bible, to pray, but it doesn't say anything to me. Well, this scripture part says, seek it, Lord, while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. So does the scripture say, the Bible says, the Lord may be found. You can find the Lord. He is to be found. And he is near. It's like the person who was seeking something, and then your mother came and said, it's here, just laying in front of you. Did you not see it? No, you did not. The Lord is not far away. That's what scripture says. In another place it says you do not have to climb up in heaven or to descend in the depths, but nearby is the word. So there is where the Lord, that is where the Lord is to be found, in the word. That's one important thing to understand and to remember when you think about seeking the Lord. He is to be found by using this book, Scripture, the Bible. And not in the way like this child was looking for that item and immediately said, I cannot find it. No, God is speaking about seeking him in a way like you dig in the ground. You dig, you spend energy and time so that you will find a treasure. Is that how you read your Bible? I have to know the Lord. I got to find him. So we saw in the family camp, we saw the presentation of Hudson Taylor, Reverend Vergunst, and he said, those Chinese students, they know so much about scripture because they don't have many other books. And if you mention just a Bible verse, it might be very unknown to us. They can tell you where it is. It's that Bible book, that chapter, and that verse. They study the Bible. They know scriptures. They even make us ashamed. The Lord is to be found. God is not lying. So if you are sitting here discouraged, it's probably not for me. That's Satan whispering it in your ear and in your heart. It's certainly not true. It's simply a lie. Satan is the father of lies, and he would like you to be discouraged and just give up so that you would perish forever. He has such a desire and intention to destroy the souls of people, and he knows salvation is to be found, but he is trying to prevent. But the Lord is near. And it says here, call ye upon him while he is near. So, scripture and prayer. Call ye upon him while he is near. I cannot pray. I listen to other people, they have such beautiful words, such wonderful sentences they can speak. I don't know how to do that. Well, where does scripture say that you have to speak wonderful, beautiful sentences? No, scripture says the true worshipping of the Lord is a worshipping in truth and in spirit, a matter of the heart, in sincerity of the heart. It's not about beautiful words or even the groaning of your heart. Is known by God. The sigh of misery that you send to heaven does not escape the attention of God. I know a very, very beautiful prayer for you from Scripture. It's simple. You can pray it. Oh, that you would pray it with your heart. Just look to that man standing there in the back of the temple. You know him? The tax collector, And what was his prayer? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I think it's a beautiful sentence, because it came out of his heart. And it was heard, because the Lord Jesus, he went his way, justified. And that's the heart, the center, the foundation of finding God, like Paul says in Romans 5. We being justified by faith have peace with God. That was faith. That was saving faith. God be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, all his shame and guilt, he found God. And I cannot find words to describe the peace in his heart when he went home. You understand something of that peace in your life, your heart? You have experienced it. This scripture is true. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Isaiah is speaking to sinful people, speaking to the people in a situation that they would be in captivity in Babylon because of their idolatry and sinfulness. They turned away from the living God and they chosen to worship and serve idols according to the desire of their own heart, against the will of God, and God warned them and warned them and warned them, and ultimately he chastised them by captivity. And it seemed this was the end of the people. They would be destroyed as a nation. They would never return. The city and the temple were destroyed. And 70 years? Oh, this is the end. But it wasn't. No, the Lord is at forehand, because Isaiah lived long before it happened. The Lord is not only describing that he would come and would chastise them, but also that he would heal them and bring them back. A sinful people, not forgotten by God. So if anybody thinks, well, for me, it is over. I've sinned too long and I'm too much depraved and corrupt, and I've hardened myself and I'm too weak. And that's not true. You should read scripture that God's grace is sufficient to save the chief of sinners, the most hardened. He can and he will soften the heart and bring people to him and restore them through Christ. There's power in the sacrifice of Christ to save the most sinful person here, which God's children learn to say, I am, which I am, isn't it? So what does it mean to seek God, to call upon him? Let's read what this chapter is saying. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. So that's, you could say, that is to seek. That you are thirsty and come to the waters. That's the picture. We all understand that picture, although we do not have such a hot climate, probably as in the Middle East. We do know what it means to be thirsty and to come to the water. Child has played outside and is sweating and is so thirsty, running home to get water. Everyone that thirsted, come ye to the waters. It's a call. It's the gospel call. Everyone that thirsted. Everyone that thirsted. So don't say it's not for me. These words are not written for me. Why would you say that? That's against what scripture says. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. But I'm not good enough. If I could only change this one sin, this bosom sin in my life. I've changed a lot of things already, but I fail to improve in that particular thing. I feel I have nothing. Well, that's what it says here. And he that hath no money. So it's for you that this is written. And he that hath no money. You couldn't find anything to pay God. You've been looking for something in your pockets. If I had only something. If I could only show the Lord this. And maybe you're still trying to gather stuff, to gather money to pay for it. Well, that's against scripture. You cannot. So give it up. Just quit. Just stop it. And listen to this word. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money. Water. Water, it makes the difference between life and death. If there's no water, I will die. If you do not find Christ, you will die for all eternity. It's the most urgent thing, this call here, that you would hear it. Yes, I'm talking to you, boy, girl, child, man, woman. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that had no money. You failed, you thought, if I have enough sorrow about my sin, but I don't feel my sin deep enough. I didn't shed enough tears, I didn't cry enough. What are you doing? You're trying to get money in your pockets to pay the Lord, isn't it? Well, Pastor, would you say that it happens without sorrow about sin, without crying? That's not what I'm saying. But I say that this is not a condition that will make you acceptable to God. It's not the money that you pay to be accepted by God. You didn't understand the sweet word grace. You didn't lift up your eyes to the cross. But Christ paid the price. Do you dare to seek, to continue to seek for money while he has cried, "It is finished"? He paid the full price. You dishonor him by neglecting this. You should simply listen to the word. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that had no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk. Water makes a difference between life and death. But it even says wine and milk. Wine is to rejoice. There's a joy in the knowledge of the Lord. There's such a sweetness in it for your heart. It will satisfy your soul. It will bring true fulfillment in your life. You will never find it anywhere else in this world. This sweet joy of peace to be accepted by God. Wine and milk, it will nourish you like milk does. It will give you spiritual food. So this is the market of free grace. Wine and milk without money. And without price. Isn't that a wonderful text verse describing how to seek and find the Lord? Or do you feel resistance? Maybe you listen so well that it offends you. Do you mean to say that I am a person who is so poor that I have nothing? Do you overlook that I am a faithful Christian, live a decent life, and now you just put me with beggars outside on the street who have nothing? Yeah, you listened well. You don't like it? Is there resistance to this way of salvation? There's no other way. This is God's way. But I have good news for you. God has all the power. He has all the power to overcome that resistance, to break through that rebellion, that hardness of our heart. How does it happen? With force? No, by my spirit it happens. That I make the heart willing. That's so wonderful. You can read it in the Canons of Dort when you read about regeneration. It's so powerful, but also sweet, that God is inclining the heart and the will to be saved His way and no more my way. No glory for me, but all the glory to God. Oh, you remember how he started his sermon? That man standing in front of the cabinet seeking for something and calling his wife, "I cannot find it." Well, she might have said, "You have to open your eyes." And isn't that a problem, that we have closed eyes? That we are blind by nature? So then I'm free. I cannot help that. Can you blame a blind person for not seeing and not finding? That would be cruel. No, wait a minute. That's not how it works. You're blind, but in a guilty way. It is the unwillingness. And that's why you're blind. You cannot see because you don't want to see. And so, what can I do? Well, confess it to the Lord. See your position. See your guilt in it. That's where the Lord wants you to be, as a poor sinner at His feet. Lord, I do not even see it. I cannot find me. I'm so unable. Lord, my heart is so unbelieving, so cold. Oh Lord, forgive me. Isn't that where faith is born? In all your impossibility, lift up your eyes to see Christ and to remember His Spirit opening eyes and bringing light. So the first point was the Lord is to be found. The second point is return unto the Lord. To seek the Lord means a return to the Lord. It says in verse 7, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts." Forsake his way. You might say, turn away from his way. And the unrighteous turn away from his thoughts. So to seek the Lord means a return to the Lord. We all have turned away from God. In paradise, in Adam, that's how we are by nature. We live with our back to the Lord. We don't see Him because we need to turn. We need a return to the Lord. Wait a minute, Pastor. I still have a question. Did you say that these are words that are spoken to everyone? Everyone that thirsted. Does this not describe a condition? You have to be thirsty to come to the waters. Oh, that's a good question. I almost forgot about that. Yeah, good that you ask. How can we explain that? Some people will say, yeah, that is how you have to read it. These words, "Come to the waters," are only for people that are thirsty. You know, so as long as you do not have that real thirst for God, yeah, it's not for you. Well, let's continue to read then in verse 2. Because there it says, therefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not. So you cannot say this being thirsty that is just about those that have a true thirst for God in their lives, worked by the Spirit, like the Lord Jesus is speaking in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's different. There the Lord Jesus speaking about those that have that as a fruit of the work of the Spirit in their lives. But here, in Isaiah 55, it's spoken in a general way. In a way that we have to understand that everybody has a thirsty heart, because we all have that void inside, that emptiness, because of turning away from God. We have lost paradise and we try to find it. And now the word says, ho, everyone that thirsted. And we seek it in the wrong way. We seek fulfillment and satisfaction in the wrong way, like verse 2 is explaining. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? Wherefore do you spend your time, your energy, your strength, your capacities to try to find fulfillment in the world, which is not bread, which cannot satisfy you, which cannot solve that void in your life, your labor for that which satisfied not? So those people who put all their energy, strength and time in trying to satisfy themselves in the things of this world, God is speaking to. Yes, even to those. And he says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Yeah, even if you have no money, come. Come and buy wine and milk. Well, Pastor, but wait a minute, God hates sin. So, there should be a change in my life. You are right. And that's what we read in verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. There is a change, but not at forehand. Not before you come to Christ. The great change is that you come to Christ in all your helplessness and guilt and impossibility. And that He is going to be King in your heart. That He will wash your sin away. You try to improve yourself, kind of clean your life. But listen, Scripture says it in a very clear way, there will be no fruit from you in all eternity. So that's all cut off. All hope that you would make yourself good enough before you would come to the Lord, that's impossible. Because the word says there is no fruit from you in all eternity. It will never be. So that God will receive all the glory. Well, Pastor, then I have nothing. I would at least want to bring my experience and feel that I am different from other people, and that's why I could come. Yeah, and how shall we describe that? Should we not say that's pride? And that's in the way? So that pride has to be broken. But, Pastor, there must be something that makes a difference. Yeah, but not something you have. The difference is in God's eternal love in Christ. It's outside of yourself. But why me? Yeah, that's a great question that I cannot answer. That's God's sovereign plan of salvation. You are indeed not different from others. You have the same corruption, the same depravity. You are just a sinner like them. But the Word is drawing you out of that darkness and misery to Christ. And there you find the difference. That He did what you should do and do not. That He paid what you can never pay. Yeah. But I should have more understanding of things. I should have more insight before I can come to the Lord Jesus. Where do you get it? Where did you read it? That you first need such an amount of knowledge, you could say, such insight? Is it not true that Scripture says that Christ is a prophet, which means a teacher? So even if you are still struggling with understanding these things and grasping it, you have to come at His feet. He is the highest teacher, and He will learn you. He will teach you. You will learn from Him. He will teach you everything you need to know. He is the high priest that will wash your sins away. And He's also a king that will rule your life. You cannot discipline yourself. Did you not yet discover that? You can maybe discipline some things, but not like you should. You cannot change your heart, but He does. So He will take care of all that you need. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Well, that's what God is demanding. You know, in coming to the Lord, in finding the Lord, there is a change, indeed. And that is the work of the Lord. But you also hear the Word speaking to you, let the wicked forsake his way. So listen to these words. You have to forsake your way of wickedness and return unto the Lord. And let us make it very practical. Let me first explain this. There's a first return. The first time that you return from darkness to light, from unbelief to trust in the Lord Jesus. That surrendering of the heart. But that's not where it stops. That's a daily thing. Scripture and Heidelberg Catechism are speaking about a daily repentance. Catechism, Lord's Day 33, about true conversion, that's described as a daily thing. That's an ongoing process. That's important that we keep that in mind. You can never say, okay, now I arrived, now I can sit down, now I'm the way I should be. There are always things that you have to confess for the Lord, that you have to repent about. And you discover that deeper and deeper. So that you will see that it is true what the Lord Jesus says in John 15. I'm the vine, you are the branches, and you have to abide in me. And my word has to abide in you. So let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought. So what is your way that you have to forsake? Let's make it practical. Is it the way of lying? Is it a way of stealing? Is it maybe alcohol, the bottle that you need to keep going, that you try to forget about things or for whatever reason? Is that something you have to say? Is it anger that you have in your life? And that you keep within, that you have to turn away from that habit of keeping that anger? Is it idolatry? That there's something in your life that you find more important than God, that you give your heart to more than to God, that you find delight in more than in God? It comes close, isn't it? It's really about me and about you. We have our idols. What things are there in your life that you find more delight in than in God? Is it your business? Is it your house? Is it your car? Is it your friend? Is it your spouse? Is it your family? Is it your laptop or your phone? What do you find more delight in than in God? You have to turn away from that. You have to forsake this way and return unto the Lord. This is a matter of life and death. Well, then you might say, but how can I do that? It is such a power in my life. Did you hear what I said? It is the work of the Lord. Yes, this word is coming to you and you should turn away. But if you feel like I cannot do it, then remember that God, in all His grace and power, is changing hearts. And that's so sweet and wonderful that you may just lay this before the Lord. Lord, this thing in my life is too strong for me. My heart embraces it. My heart loves it. Finds delight in it. And instead of that, finds delight in thee. Did you do that? Would you keep doing that, lay it before the Lord? Do you really want to get rid of it? Or secretly still embrace it? You love it. You keep it. You want to keep it. And even if that is the case, tell the Lord. Confess Him. I know for sure. I know by experience God is breaking that dominion. When you expect it from Him, He does. But it comes to you. So don't just say, well, God has to do it and sit back. But it comes to you. You are accountable in this situation. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Did you hear that? It goes further, isn't it? The unrighteous man his thoughts. Sin has everything to do not only with ways that you like walk in, but also with thoughts. How important are thoughts? What you think? Where you give your mind to? What you are having fantasy about? What you bring and allow to get into your imagination? And that is hard. That's going deep, isn't it? Thoughts. That's the insight. How can I change that? It's also connected with feelings, isn't it? Has such a power over you. And the Lord says, let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. Turn away from them. Don't even think about it anymore. Oh, that your mind will be molded according to the word of God. And so God will have his purpose worked out in your life. So you need to read the Bible and pray that the Spirit will use it as a power of God to change your mind, your way of thinking. And the unrighteous man his thought. This is just how I am. Yeah, so God can change you and has the power to change you and wants you to change according to his word. Let us first sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 111, stanza 1 through 4. 111, stanza 1. I waited for the Lord Most High, and He inclined to hear my cry. He took me from destruction's pit. 111, all stanzas. congregation, it says, let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. Never forget about the power thoughts have in our lives. That's why we have to be under the word, so that the thoughts of God would be proclaimed to us, and that we would be transformed according to his will and word. So, yeah, it's not only the things like lying, stealing, but maybe even more for us, it's the things in our mind, in our emotions, like jealousy and pride and unbelief and self-righteousness, that you turn away from this way of thinking. Oh, Scripture makes it clearer that the heart, like we said, the boardroom of your life. From the heart are the issues of life. You have to guard your heart. And then it says, and let him return unto the Lord. Let's think about that for a while. Let him return unto the Lord. So you can turn away from a certain wrong habit. I'm not stealing anymore. I don't lie anymore. I got rid of jealousy and pride. I fought against it. I changed my way of life. And then? And how? Well, yeah, that's just, you know, now I'm a different, I live in a different way. But did you return unto the Lord? Let's say you managed to change something in your life. You kind of chase that wrong habit out. You cast it away from yourself. But then what did come in place of it? It says, let him return unto the Lord. You remember that story, that history of that the Lord Jesus told about evil spirits in a house, and then if they are gone out of the house, and the house is standing empty, then there would come more and worse. So your house should not be empty. That place should be filled with a life with the Lord, a walk with the Lord. Otherwise, you might have changed a certain wrong habit, but something worse will come in place if it will not be the Lord filling that spot in your life, filling your heart. Return unto the Lord. Maybe you say, I do not dare to. I'm too bad, too sinful. Well, then we come to our third point. God will abundantly pardon. That's what we read here. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. It says in Hebrew, multiply to pardon. Abundantly, beautiful that Scripture says that. Scripture knows your need. Scripture knows your struggle. Is that possible for me? But you do not know how many sins I have committed and I still do. Yeah, but the Lord does know that. And that's why he has written here, he will multiply to pardon. He will abundantly pardon. But I stumble and fall again and again. He will abundantly pardon. That's the word of God. He will have mercy. That's like opening the heart of God. Oh, when you see Christ suffering on the cross, it's like you look straight into the heart of God. His mercy. Unbelievable, isn't it? Oh yeah, that you may believe it. That you may believe it. There is forgiveness for your sin. For your sin of pride, fornication, unbelief, self-righteousness. There is power in the blood of Christ to wash all this sin away. For your hypocrisy, sin of worldliness, sin of laziness, not interested in the things of the Lord, there is forgiveness. through Christ for these sins. I have such a hard time to understand this. You know, if someone would do again and again wrong to me and come and say, oh, can you forgive me? I would be so tired at the end that would not be possible for me. I understand what you say. But God is not like man. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, said the Lord. I'm different. Totally different. Yes, for you it's impossible to keep doing that. That abundantly forgive transgressions, not for me. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. How high are the heavens? Oh, we cannot comprehend this, how deep this gospel is. But that we may believe it, we may just surrender to this salvation in Christ. We think too much in a human way about God. But do you see the Lord Jesus, while he is nailed to the cross, he prayed. He prayed while they nailed him to the cross. He prayed for his enemies. His amazing love and grace. It is such a beautiful picture. Now you understand what we mean. When we talk about the beauty of Christ, it's not so much in the outward appearance. Now in that way he was not different as man on earth. But it is in who he is and what he has done. You see him, you hear him praying, Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they do. That's Christ. Your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Your ways, not my ways, said the Lord. So, did you hear it? There is salvation for you. I was talking to you this morning. Boy, girl, man, woman. It's a personal thing. A thing that is about your heart and life. So let's close. Let's finish this sermon with three thoughts and try to keep them, to take them in your mind, to ponder them and to meditate on it. The first thing is to return to the Lord is not something that you manage to live a perfect life. To return to the Lord doesn't mean that you will manage to live a perfect life. That you will improve yourself so much till you are good enough. That's not what it means. It simply means to repent, to loathe yourselves before God, to acknowledge who you are, to confess what you have done before him. And then he will, through his Spirit, change your life according to his word. So if you try to make yourself perfect, you didn't listen, you didn't seek, you have still your ears and eyes closed. Because Christ is the only one who has lived a perfect life, and that's sufficient and acceptable to God. The second thought that we will take home this morning, to return to the Lord is the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, in your heart. So that's such a great comfort. Because then in all your hardness and coldness, you confess that to the Lord. And you lift your eyes up and you listen to his word, that the Spirit will make a willing people in the day of his power. He inclines the heart, and you could say the will has its seat in the heart. He will change your will and incline your heart. So what else do we need? I mean, Christ has done everything, and the Holy Spirit is applying. A full salvation is offered here in this chapter to everyone in every need. And so the third thought, take it home, never forget that this water is sold at the market of free grace, without money or price from our pockets. The price is in the blood of Christ. So never forget that this water is sold at the market of free grace. And grace means undeserved. Undeserved. You will never be at any point in this life that you could say, I deserve it. Because even after the Lord has worked in your heart, we have that inclination to think, now I'm going to show that I'm worthy. Now I'm going to show that it was a good thing that the Lord gave it to me, because look what I perform now. No, this water is sold at the market of free grace, without money and without price, so that it is all to God's glory, and that it will last forever. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we come to thee. We pray, Lord, that thou bless thy word. Apply it in our lives. Salvation, full and free. Sweet and satisfying our souls. Lord, in Christ alone. We need it daily. We are in ourselves sinners. And we continue to be sinners in ourselves. We still have, after receiving grace, our old and sinful nature, Lord, and thou knowest. And that makes the miracle greater, that such sinners can be saved and will be saved. Oh Lord, we will never overcome that totally in this life. The flesh will never improve. The flesh, the old nature, continues to love sin. But the Spirit, that work of the Spirit in our lives, hates it and has a deep desire to live to thy glory. That's such a conflict in us. Oh Lord, help us in our need, and that thou would strengthen thy work in our lives and keep it. Bring us again in thy house this evening. Give us a day of rest, that we may be resting in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. And Lord, that thou would keep us from all the attacks of Satan, so that he will have no opportunity to do harm to our souls. That Christ will fill our hearts with his peace. We thank thee, Lord, for thy goodness. Hear us in the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.